Welcome. It's 2 and 2 Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of mystery. Later on, renowned actor Walter Hamden stars in The Adventures of Leonidas Witherall, but right now it's a broadcast of Mr. and Mrs. North, the CBS episode first heard on August 25th, 1953, called The Crooked Ring.
Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Richard Denning and Barbara Britton. Listen as Pam and Jerry solve the mystery, The Crooked Ring. The Olympic Gymnasium, owned and operated by Marty Dan, is a place of legalized assault, rubbing alcohol, cauliflower ears, and cloudy minds. Of eyes bright with the vision of success and dull with the reality of failure. Of young men on their way to the garden and old men on their way to the grave. A place like the Olympic Gym is always the beginning for a kid like Gil Henry, and often it's the end.
Your left, Gil. Your left. Use it. Use it. Go for... Okay, that's enough. Cut it, Ace. Hold it, Gil.
Okay, Gabby. How'd I look, Gabby?
Go take your shower.
How'd I look?
How do you feel?
Terrible.
That answer your question? Now go.
Gabby, didn't she call... Didn't she?
No.
I'll take my shower.
Oh, wait.
Well?
I don't feel too bad about what Ace did to you just now. He's good. Old as he is, he's good. Smart. He's fought them all, the best of them.
Yeah.
But, Gil.
Yeah?
If you're going to lose any fights, lose them in the ring, huh? Not in a saloon.
Oh, Gabby.
You were drunk last night?
Yeah, but...
Then the night before?
Okay, yeah, but...
Go take your shower.
Oh, but, Gabby...
I gotta see Marty.
Who is it?
Gabby.
Come in.
You wanted to see me?
Yeah, sit down. Is Gil gonna be ready for sale at battle?
The bout's a week from tonight.
So?
So ask me a week from tomorrow.
Look, stop cracking wise.
You see him sparring with Ace?
Ah.
With 10-ounce gloves, Ace could have had him inside three. And the sailor is Ace's kind of fighter.
It's that dame, that Laura Evans. What does she want, anyway?
She wants Gil to use his college degree to teach physical education at some jerkwater college upstate.
Ah, she's nuts.
So argue with her.
Listen, Gubby, we gotta get Gil straightened out for that bell fight. This is one fight he can't lose.
You're wrong, Marty. It's the one he can't win.
Now look, Gabby.
Dame, trouble or not, Gil's not ready for the sailor. I told you that before you made the match. In another 6 months, okay, but not now. You're trying to bring the kid along too fast.
I know what I'm doing.
You're running the chance of losing the best boy you ever managed. That's what you're doing. Listen, Marty. If Gil takes a bad beating from the sailor, he'll listen to the Evans dame. He'll quit. He'll never fight again. Right now, Gil's got to keep winning. Winning big. Winning all the time. All the way.
Nuts.
I know what I'm talking about. Look, let's find a way to duck the sailor. Try to get a postponement.
No.
Marty.
You heard me.
Okay, Marty. You're his manager.
Gabby?
Yeah?
Don't forget it.
Forget what?
I'm Gil's manager, and I'm going to be his manager as long as he fights. And anybody who tries to hijack me out of that boy is going to wind up on the wrong side of an awful lot of trouble.
Good night, Jules.
See you later, Jules.
You ate too much. You always do when we have dinner at Jules.
No.
You'd better start watching your waistline.
Oh, nonsense.
But, Jerry, sitting behind a desk all day, never getting any exercise...
I get plenty of exercise. Golf.
Golf?
Yeah, with Joe Bailey.
Last April.
Yeah, well, I'll call Joe in the morning and make a date for...
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometime next week, maybe. And another thing, I'm going to start doing more walking. Walk to work, walk... Oh, there's a cab.
Where's Patrick?
Oh, he didn't see us. What's the matter? What are you laughing at?
You.
Oh?
Darling, if you're serious about getting some exercise...
Well, I am.
Then let's walk home.
Walk home? You mean now?
Uh-huh.
Well, are you sure you're not too tired?
Oh, I'm fine.
Well, those shoes you're wearing weren't made for walking, you know.
Oh, they're fine.
Fine. Well,
Here we go, then, huh?
Here we go.
Oh, Pam, dear, don't you think we should...
Jerry, look.
Stop coming with me.
No, now leave me alone.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, we better find out what it is.
Oh, be careful, darling.
I want to talk to you, Laura.
There's nothing more to talk about.
Hey, just a minute, fellow. What's going on?
What's it to you?
Well, you seem to be bothering the lady.
So?
So I think you better stop.
I think you better mind your own business. Beat it.
Hey, now look, fellow.
You heard me. Beat it. Get moving before I...
Jerry!
Let go of me. Let go after
I... Stop it, Gil. Stop, please. I'll go with you.
Hey, look, okay. Miss, you don't have to
please,
go anywhere.
Please, I don't want any trouble. It's all right. Really, it is. Come on, Gil.
Car's right here.
Well, now, what do you suppose that was all about?
I don't know, but that guy came awfully close to socking me.
If he had, he'd been sorry.
He'd been sorry? Oh, Pam, dear, do you know who that was?
Do you?
Well, she called him Gil, didn't she?
Yes.
Well, I've seen him before, often. He's been on television, and his picture has been on the sports page of every newspaper in town. That was Gil Henry, who may very well be the heavyweight champion of the world someday.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I've had enough exercise for one evening. Taxi! Hey, taxi!
Gil, you're behaving like a fool.
We're going to have this out.
There's nothing to have out. Now, please, take me home.
No.
Gil, be careful.
For what? What's there to be careful for?
Well, you're acting like a child. Now, slow down.
When are we going to be married?
Oh, Gil, will you
when?
Slow down? When you come to your senses, when you tell Marty Dan you're through fighting.
What's wrong with fighting? That's what I don't get. What's wrong with it? Well, in one fight, just one fight, I make more than I'd ever make.
No, I know. More than you'd make in 5 years at Hillcrest College. But I know what it'll cost you, too.
Cost?
Yes, cost. Marty Dan takes 20% of everything but the beatings. The cut eyes, the broken noses, the scrambled brains. I've seen those men up at the Olympics. That sparring partner of yours, that Ace Carlson.
But honey, I'm a winner. I'm not...
Oh, win or lose, you get hurt every time you fight. What do you think it's like for me, sitting there, helpless, while someone I love is... Well, I'm not going to live like that, that's all. I'm not going to... Oh, Gil, that man crossing the street, look out! Look out! You got it! Oh, you hit him! You hit him, Gil!
Come on. He walked right in front of me. I didn't see him. It wasn't my fault.
Oh, Gil. Gil, look at him.
It wasn't my fault, Laura. You saw him. You saw how he walked right out in front of me.
Gil, he's dead.
No.
He is.
We gotta get out of here.
You what?
Before someone sees us. Come on.
Are you crazy? We
can't. Come on.
Gil, my arm, you're hurting me.
Get in the car.
Gil, stop! Oh, Gil. We can't run away like this. We can't.
Darling, may I have some more coffee? Pam.
Hmm?
Coffee.
Pass your cup.
Pam.
What?
Not in the saucer, dear. In the cup.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, what the devil is so interesting in the newspaper?
Jerry, read this story. This one here.
Man killed by hit-skip driver. What about it?
Read the story.
Paul Calvin, 134 Birch Drive, Manhattan, was fatally injured last night in a hit-and-run accident. Calvin was struck down while crossing Miller Street near Harkness Boulevard.
Jerry, that's only 6 blocks from Jules' restaurant.
So?
Well, listen to this. An occupant of an apartment on Miller Street witnessed the accident and described the death car as a gray convertible with New York license plates and occupied by a man and woman.
Well, I still don't see what...
Jerry, that man last night, that prize fighter, he was driving a gray convertible.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Pam, there are thousands of gray convertibles.
All within 6 blocks of Jules' restaurant?
Oh.
And all occupied by a man and a woman?
Yeah.
And another thing, that Henry man had been drinking.
Yes, but... Oh, Pam, dear, this is nothing but a coincidence.
Maybe so, but I think we should call the police.
No.
Jerry, please. Well, at least call Bill Wigan.
Bill is out of town and won't be back until noon.
How do you know?
Well, because he's meeting me at my office and we're having lunch.
Then talk to him then.
Pam, this is ridiculous.
Please, darling.
Okay, dear. On one condition.
What?
I'll speak to Bill at lunch if you'll please let me finish my breakfast.
Who is it?
No.
Oh, I've been trying to call
you? Where you been?
Have you seen the newspapers?
Yeah.
Gil, we've got to go to the police.
Laura.
Oh, please, Gil.
Are you out of your head?
But this is wrong, Gil.
You want me to go to prison?
Well, you know I don't, but... Gil, you killed a man.
I didn't mean to, did I? It was an accident, wasn't it?
But the police will find you.
They won't. Look, Laura, the car wasn't hurt. Just a headlight broken, that's all. I can have that fixed and the police won't know a thing if you don't tell them.
Oh, but Gil...
Listen, we'll go away, Laura. I'll take that job at Hillcrest.
You'll quit fighting?
Yeah.
Do you mean it?
Yes, Laura. We'll get married right away, buy a little house near the college.
Oh.
Oh, honey, I'm not asking for myself. I mean that. It's for us. Us. Our whole life together.
All right, Gil.
Oh, Laura.
But you've got to tell Marty Dan that you're through fighting as of today.
I will. We'll go see him together, right now. Oh, Laura. Gee, I love you.
Oh, Gil.
Oh, everything's going to be all right, honey. You'll see. We're going to be happy.
Oh, sure.
Come on, let's go see Marty. The car is parked down in the...
Oh, Gil.
Marty.
Hello, Gil. Morning, Miss Evans.
I was just on my way down to see you, Marty.
I know.
You know?
The transom. Better close it, Gil. Close it.
How much did you hear?
Enough.
What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know, Gil. What I just heard was a big shock. But I haven't had time to think it through yet. You're in a terrible spot, Gil.
Oh, now, look, Marty.
An awful spot. And like I say, I just got to think about it. But offhand, I'd say what I do depends on what you do.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, Miss Evans, I mean that you tell Gil you won't say anything if he quits fighting.
Well?
So, I'm just sort of thinking out loud, you understand? I guess the thing for me to say that if he does quit, I will tell the police.
What, you...
Gil, please.
Look, I've invested a lot of money in Gil, Miss Evans.
Yes, and you've got it back.
But I don't invest money just to get it back. I invest to make a profit.
Hey, wait a minute. Who are you calling?
Gabby. Now, you got a lot of work to do to get in shape for Sailor Bell.
He's not going to fight.
Oh, he'll fight. And you're in love with him and you won't talk.
I wouldn't count on that.
No? Well, I would. Yes? Oh, yes. Send him in. Now let's... Hello?
Jerry?
Well, Pam...
Lunch.
Hi, Jerry.
He's here now. Just a minute, Bill.
Right.
And we're going around the corner to...
Jerry, you can't.
Huh? Well, Pam, what's the matter?
Darling, it is.
It is?
Yes.
Is what?
The car.
Car?
The one that killed that man. Gil Henry's car. I know it's the one.
Oh, Pam,
it's parked in the alley behind his hotel, the McAllister on East 72nd.
Darling, will you please...
And the mesh headlight is broken, and you've got to get over here with Bill right away and hurry.
Yeah, but... Hello? Pam, hello. Oh, hung up.
What's this all about, Jerry?
Well, I'm not quite sure, Bill, but I hope you had a big breakfast because it looks like we'll be skipping lunch.
What do you think, Gil? Will Laura talk?
Of course she won't.
I asked Gil.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I care.
Ah, come on, kid. Now, don't...
What did she say when she left here?
Nothing. She just left.
Will you stop worrying about the dame, Gabby? You got enough to worry about getting Gil into shape for the sailor. Now, look, Gil. You said your car wasn't hurt bad, just a headlight broken, eh?
Yeah.
Now, where is the car?
In the alley.
Okay, now you give me the keys and I'll take care of it. Gabby, you and Gil grab a cab back to the gym. What's the matter, Gabby? You don't look happy.
I didn't know the mess Gil's in was supposed to be funny.
Gil isn't in any mess as long as he goes on fighting and doesn't ever change managers. See you at the gym.
What did he mean by that crack about not changing managers?
He thinks I'm after your contract.
You?
And he's right. I was.
Well, how'd you figure you could get it away from him?
Oh, I had some angles. But I guess I can forget them. Funny. I've been in this game 30 years. All that time, I got a picture in my mind of the kind of a boy I'd like to have all to myself. Train him. Manage him. Teach him all I know and bring him along slow and easy. pick the spots. Just the right fight at the right time. And then I finally see him and... what's the use of talking? After what's happened, Marty Dan owns you from the ground up, and you'll wind up a tank town bum instead of a champ. Unless Marty suddenly drops dead.
Is taking them so long to... Who's that? Oh, Goalies, he's taking the car. I've got to stop him. Wait, you there, stop.
Something wrong, lady?
What are you doing in that car?
Well, what is it to you?
Get out.
What?
You heard me.
No, just a minute.
That isn't your car.
No?
No.
Okay, so it happens to belong to a friend of mine. I'm in a hurry, so let go of the door, huh?
You're staying here until my...
Okay, then, lady, then you've got to let go. But I hope you can run back.
Oh, come back here. You come back.
Pam.
Jerry.
Oh, come on, Bill. Oh, Pam, darling, are you hurt?
I'm all right. Help me up. Ouch.
Oh, what is it, darling?
Well, I sat down so hard and my... Well, never mind what, but it hurts.
What happened, Pam?
Some man drove off in Gil Henry's car.
Yeah, but how did you find out the car was here?
I called that man, you know, the sports writer on the Chronicle, and asked him where Gil Henry lived. And then I came over here, saw the car, and telephoned you.
Well, Pam, I ought to take you over my knee and spank you for barging off on your own like this.
Oh, please, Jerry, don't say things like that. Remember where I hurt.
Jim's on the second floor, Bill.
Yeah.
In here.
Mm-hmm.
Gollies, I hope Gil Henry's here.
Well, since he wasn't at his hotel, chances are this is where we'll find him.
Well, who do you suppose the man was who took the car?
Your guess is as good as mine,
then. Get your tickets here, folks. Admission's 4 bits apiece.
Is Gil Henry here?
Yeah, probably be working out. $1.50 for the three.
I've got our ticket right here.
Huh? Oh, police.
Homicide.
Yes, sir.
Where can I find Gil Henry?
Oh, in our locker room, I guess.
You and Pam wait here, Jerry.
Okay, Bill.
Locker room straight ahead, Lieutenant. Homicide. Holy. I better find Gabby. Oh, excuse me.
What? Oh, sure. Well, here's a chair, Pam. Would you like to sit down?
Yes, but I think I'd be more comfortable standing up.
Okay. What the?
Jerry, that was a scream.
Yeah, it came from in there. Come on.
Oh, Jerry! On the floor, look.
Hey, that's the girl we saw with Gil Henry last night.
She looks like she's fainted.
Yeah, but what made her scream? She must have... Pam.
What?
Lying behind the desk.
Darling, he's the man who took the car.
Don't touch him, Pam. He's dead. There's a knife in his back.
Okay, Sammy, beat it.
Ah, sure.
Anything I can do for you?
What? Huh?
I'm Gabby Keegan, Gil Henry's trainer.
Lieutenant Wigan, homicide. You know where Henry is? That character at the ticket window.
Sammy Burke.
Said he'd be in here in the locker room.
Oh, I thought he was here. What do you want to see him about?
Well, is there a way out of here except through the gym and out the front entrance?
Yeah, but why would Gil...
Just answer the question.
There's a door to a fire escape back of the showers. Look, Lieutenant, what's this all...
Hey, Bill.
Jerry, what's the matter?
Murder.
What?
Yeah, in the office right next to the stairway. Some guy with a paper knife in his back.
Marty.
Who?
That's Marty's office. Marty Dan. He owns the gym. He's Gil's manager.
Come on, let's have a look. All right, Miss Evans. You say you came into the office, saw Marty Dan dead, and screamed and fainted.
Yes.
What'd you come to see him about? Well?
Nothing.
Answer the question, Miss Evans.
She doesn't have to answer.
You keep quiet, Keegan.
Did it have anything to do with the accident, Miss Evans?
What accident? What are you talking about?
The hit-and-run accident.
Oh, it was nothing. It wasn't important.
So unimportant that you can't even remember what it was, huh? All right, Miss Evans, let's try another one. Do you know why anyone would want to kill Marty Dan?
No.
Keegan?
No.
Okay, you two wait here. Pam and Jerry, you can go along if you want to.
That's all right, Bill. We'll stay.
Well, suit yourself. I'm going to see if the medical examiner...
Lieutenant?
Yeah, Donahue?
There's a Sergeant Blaine from the local precinct outside. Came up here looking for Marty Dan and Gabby Keegan.
Oh, why?
Says Gil Henry walked into the station house about an hour ago and gave himself up.
Gave himself up?
That's what he says. On a hit-and-run charge.
Oh, no. Oh, no!
Miss Evans.
He didn't. He couldn't have. Oh, no!
No, no, no. Take it easy, Miss Evans. Please, take it easy. Take it easy. Pam, see if you can get her quieted down, will you?
Yes, Bill.
Come on, Donahue. I want to talk to Sergeant Blaine. And I want you along, too. Here, let's try to get her to lie down on the couch, ma'am.
Darling, do you suppose the medical examiner's still in Marty Dan's office?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, go get him. Maybe he can give her something to quiet
her. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this door's locked. Let's go out the other way and run through the gym.
Hurry. Now, please, Miss Evans. Locked? But that's not right. It is, and from the other side. Miss Evans.
What?
Oh, nothing.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'd better go out.
Oh, no.
Get away from that door.
Not until I know what you're thinking.
Don't be a fool, Miss Evans. You can't get out of this office.
You think I killed Marty Dan, don't you?
I know you did. That door over there is locked from the other side.
And now this one's locked, too.
So the only way you could have gone into Marty Dan's office is through the door from the gym. But if you'd have gone into his office when you said you did, my husband and I would have seen you. You didn't scream and faint as soon as you saw Marty Dan. He was alive when you walked into his office.
Yes.
And you killed him then?
Yes.
And you screamed and pretended to faint.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, I killed him. I don't care if you know, if everybody knows. It doesn't make any difference now. Not after Gil's given himself up. But they're not going to send me to the electric chair. I'm not going to let him do that.
Miss Evans. No. Come away from that window.
Let go of me. Jerry, Bill.
Let go.
No, I won't let you. Stop it, Miss Evans, or we're
let
going
me
to...
go.
Look out, Miss. We're going to fall. Look out.
Pam, Jerry, the window.
Bill, look down there.
Good Lord.
Oh, Pam.
In
the hospital.
Hospital? Jerry, what? Wait, I remember. Laura Evans. Jerry, she killed Marty Dan.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you know?
Well, she's given Bill a statement.
She tried to get away. I grabbed her. We lost our balance.
Yeah, and fell almost 25 feet to the sidewalk. Thank heavens, that gym was only on the second floor.
Why did she do it, Jerry? Kill Marty Dan, I mean.
Well, you see, Marty knew about the hit-and-run accident and was going to hold it over Gil Henry's head to make him go on fighting after he'd promised Laura he'd quit the ring.
Oh.
Well, Laura says she went to see Marty to plead with him to let Gil quit. They argued. He slapped her. She lost her head, picked up the paper knife on his desk, and...
How awful.
Yeah. The irony of it is that right about that same moment, Gil was at the precinct station confessing to the hit-and-run accident.
Was Miss Evans badly hurt in the fall?
No.
Well, what about me?
Well, you got a nasty bump on your head and a sprained ankle.
A sprained ankle? Oh, how horrible.
Well, Pam, you were lucky to get...
Lucky? Jerry, you know what happened to me when Marty Dan took Gil Henry's car.
Oh, yes. You bruised your...
Yes. So if I can't sit down and I can't stand up, what am I going to do with the rest of me?
Jerry are sure to have more exciting adventures next week. Listen in, won't you? There's always mystery well sprinkled with humor on Mr. and Mrs. North.
Mr. and Mrs. North, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 25th, 1953 on CBS. That was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast. The program would actually make its way to television with the two stars we just heard, Richard Denning and Barbara Britton, from 1952 through 1954, and now has the distinction of being one of the better put together programs of TV's golden years. You're listening to an hour of old-time radio mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for The Adventures of Leonidas Witherall, an interesting mystery series and short-lived at that on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This next episode from September 7th of 1943.
We present the distinguished American actor, Walter Hampton, in The Adventures of Leonidas Witherall.
Leonidas Witherall's always getting mixed up in murders.
You wouldn't think so to look at him. He looks just like Shakespeare.
It's his beard. And he's the head of an important school for boys in New England.
He also writes thriller stories on the side, the Lieutenant Hazeltine stories. And to escape from this intense activity, Leonidas has just gone to the mountains for a brief rest. Isn't that right, Mr. Hampton?
Exactly. Mr. Witherall's close friend and valuable housekeeper for the neighborhood, Mrs. Mullet, went off to Dandy's Dream Domicile, a resort in the mountains where she's been combining work with pleasure. On the basis of her recommendation, Leonidas has gone there himself for a short vacation. But he hasn't been there more than a few minutes when, standing on the porch with Mrs. Mullet, the calm of the mountainside is shattered by a fire alarm.
There's a fire, Mr. Witherall. Why, it's that cabin right across the road. See it?
Yes, we'd better go over, Mrs. Mullet. We might be able to help. Oh, how far is the fire station, do you know?
Oh, it's about 5 miles away. They probably won't get here for a long time.
Pretty bad fire. Wonder if anybody's in that cabin.
Well, I can't see. Kind of the flames.
There is someone inside. It's a man.
Good gracious.
See him? He's just coming out.
Yes.
Looks weak, too. He's staggering here.
Oh, please. Help me.
That's all right. I've got hold of you. Take his other arm, Mrs. Mullet.
No. Got to go back inside. My diamond's in there.
A diamond's not worth risking your life for, man. Now, just lie down on the ground.
No, I've got to get my diamond. Where's the fortune?
Fortune?
There comes the crowd from the main house. They help. Why, they bring it with
you. Please, my diamond. It's in the top drawer of the dresser. It'll burn.
All right. It's so important, I'll try. Look after Mrs. Mullet. I'm going into that cabin.
No, wait. You'll be killed.
Hey, where's that fella going? Is he crazy? He's heading right for the fire.
Right, Mr. Witherall.
Well, it's hard to spot him with all those flames.
Hey, what's going on here? Somebody called in there?
No, no one's in there. He went to get something.
Well, it must be something valuable.
I wouldn't go in there for $1 million.
Well, maybe that's what it's worth.
What? What did you say?
Nothing. You just keep moving those buckets.
Did he go in? What's happening?
Out. I see him. Come on, Mr. Witherall.
Oh,
get up, Mr. Witherall. Get up.
He's okay. He's
okay.
Hey, wait. Here he comes.
Are you all right?
What?
Are you all right?
I'm all right, yes. Overheated, but otherwise fine. Did you get my diamond?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I don't know how to thank you.
Here it is, Mr.
Button. My name's Button.
Might we discuss this later, Mr. Button, in private? Because when I found your diamond, I made a startling discovery. Amazing, Mr. Button. Positively amazing. Mr. Button, I went into your burning cabin, opened the top drawer of the dresser, and found what you described as your diamond. If I may ask, how much did you pay for this rare gem?
Why?
Oh, you said it was worth a fortune. I hope that was merely your excitement at the moment. Hope you didn't actually pay more than a few dollars.
A few dollars? So happens I paid $30,000 for that diamond.
Oh, pardon me for whistling. You see, I'm the director of a school, Mr. Button. We teach chemistry, among other things. I recall our chem professor telling a class once that real diamonds being made of carbon will burn when subjected to fire.
You trying to tell me that it's a fake?
Glass, Mr. Button. Plain, ordinary glass.
But that's impossible.
I can appreciate how you feel. $30,000 for a piece of glass seems a little high, doesn't it?
Are you positive?
Quite. Now, you should be more cautious when you go shopping.
Well, I'll ruin him. I'll kill him.
Whom?
Mr. Dandy.
The manager of this retreat? Retreat.
I wasn't supposed to tell anyone where I got this, but I will. I'll tell everybody under the sun, and I'm going to take him by the neck and
I wouldn't recommend that. Perhaps Mr. Dandy made a mistake, eh?
He's not the kind of a fellow who makes mistakes. I'll show him.
Shall we be calm, Mr. Button? Perhaps if you talk it over with
him... I don't want to talk to him. I just want to get my hands on him.
Would it help if I spoke to him? I mean, if it'll prevent any violence.
Well, you tell him.
Well, he realizes he's been caught selling a false diamond. He might prefer to return the money rather than discuss it with the police.
I don't want anybody to talk to him. I just want to see him dead.
But you can't actually kill the man. You've got to solve this some other way.
I'm not interested in other ways.
Mr. Button...
Oh, get out, Witherall. Keep your mouth shut.
Interesting suggestion. But surely you're not going to...
Never mind what I'm going to do.
Shall we be calm, Mr. Button?
Oh, get out!
All right, I will. But before I go, I may tell you, I'm not going to leave this problem this way.
What are you going to do?
In your own words, Mr. Button, just you never mind what I'm going to do.
Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Weatherall?
I came to your room, Mr. Dandy, to warn you.
Warn me?
Yes, about that false diamond you sold to Mr. Button.
Who said I ever sold him anything?
Now, there's no time for explanations. Unless he gets some sort of satisfaction, he's determined to kill you.
To kill me?
I knew that would interest you. That's why I'm here. Now, I thought perhaps I might serve as a mediator.
Weatherall, I think you're a phony. You sold this man Button. He hasn't a thing on me. And if you think I'm walking into a trap, you're crazy. I don't know anything about selling him diamonds. Play around with that.
All right. At least I've tried.
Didn't you come here for a nice, peaceful vacation?
I did.
Then mind your own crummy business, or you'll get a nice, peaceful rest. A very long one.
Rather a dull way to phrase your threat, Mr. Dandy. I was merely trying to pacify Mr. Button.
Okay, you said your little piece. Just because you look like Shakespeare doesn't mean you ought to mastermind everything.
Strikes me as very odd, Mr. Dandy, that someone should sell diamonds at a mountain resort rather than at a business office. Now, isn't it possible you might be selling many types of diamonds? Glass ones, stolen ones?
You don't care much about what happens to you, do you?
On the contrary.
Then cut your vacation short, Witherall. Go home, first thing in the morning. Keep your beard out of it.
I certainly will not go home. This resort has been recommended to me. I came here for a vacation, and I intend to stay.
You do, huh?
Absolutely.
All right, you asked for trouble. Now you'll get it.
Mrs. Mullet, what are you doing peeking through the keyhole of that room?
Shh. Very interesting.
What is?
The conversation in there.
Oh, that's bad manners.
Shh. The man and his daughter. And what a fight they have.
Well, you shouldn't listen to family quarrels.
How dare you say that, Loretta?
How dare I? I'll say it again. I'm going to marry Phil Dandy, and I don't believe a word you say about him.
You don't think he's a crook, eh? All right. I didn't want to tell you this, but I will.
Here comes the good part, Mr. Winterall.
See this diamond, Loretta? Take a good look at it. It's genuine. I had it tested this afternoon. I paid $30,000 for it. Got it from your boyfriend, Dandy. That diamond was stolen. He sells stolen goods.
I don't believe it.
He's what they call a fence. He uses this place as a headquarters.
You're lying. You wouldn't buy a stolen diamond. And besides, Phil would never have anything to do with a crooked business like that. You're making up the whole story because you're jealous. You never thought any man was good enough for me. You've managed to get rid of every boy I ever liked, and you're desperate now. Because you know how much I love Phil. You'd say anything to stop us from being married.
Then why don't you ask him about the diamond?
Because I wouldn't even bother to repeat your crazy story.
Then I'll bring him here myself.
I beg your pardon. This door opens very abruptly, doesn't it?
Listening in at my door, eh?
Oh.
And who are you?
I'm terribly sorry. My name is Leonidas Witherall, and this is Mrs. Mullet.
Oh, I saw her before. She cleans our room.
Hello. Eavesdropping, huh?
I suppose, Witherall, you heard everything we said.
Well, your tone was not exactly confidential. But since you ask, I missed the early part.
Very amusing. Now I'll tell you something you didn't hear. You know too much.
Somebody else told me that tonight. Called me a mastermind.
You won't get a chance to butt in anymore, though.
How's that?
Oh, you'll find out. Come on, Loretta. Let's go downstairs.
I'm coming.
Good night, Witherall. Sleep well.
Oh, thank you. I shall. What's that?
Hurry, Loretta. Lock the door.
Keyhole kibitzers.
Mind your tongue.
Oh, come along, Mrs. Mullet. This next door is the door to my room, isn't it?
Yes, yes, that's it.
Now, where did I... Oh, I have it here. Here's the key.
I put fresh bedding on for you. Anything else you want before I go?
You might do a favor for me. feel rather worn by all those fantastic doings. I'd like a cup of coffee.
Well, I'll go down to the kitchen and get one for you.
That's very kind of you, Mrs. Mullen.
Be right back.
All right, thank you. Did he say sleep well?
Come in. Peaceful vacation, very relaxing.
Yes? Oh, it's you, Mr. Button.
Witherall, where's my letter opener? Give it to me.
I don't know anything about a letter opener.
You went into my house at the fire. I think you helped yourself to a few of my things. That letter opener's a very valuable piece. It has a hand-carved Persian base. It's made of the finest steel.
Uh-huh.
With a lot of money, Witherall. Now give it back.
I assure you, Mr. Button, I haven't the remotest idea where your letter opener is.
I'll turn this room of yours upside down to find it.
Well, go ahead. I've never seen a room upside down.
Oh, Mr. Witherall.
Oh, just a moment, Mrs. Mullet, please.
Do I get the letter opener or do I call the police?
Now, the gentleman I'm supposed to resemble was used to such melodramatic talk, but as for me...
Don't get uppity with me.
Uppity, uppity.
But, Mr. Witherall, I want to tell you...
Stop putting in.
Now, for the last time, Mr. Button, I don't know where that knife is. Now, I wish you'd leave.
Mr. Witherall,
please. Don't interrupt now, please, Mrs. Mullet.
And for the last time, either you give it to me or I'll try looking for it myself.
Well, you can turn this room topsy-turvy and you won't find that knife.
I know where it is.
You know where it is.
Yes, I do.
Well, where is it?
Downstairs in the kitchen.
Then go down and bring it up.
I can.
Why not?
It's stuck in something.
Mm-hmm. Stuck in what?
Mr. Dandy.
What?
No.
It's in Mr. Dandy's back. He's been murdered, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you tell us about Dandy before?
Well, I tried to, but you kept telling me not to interrupt.
If he's been stabbed with your knife, Mr. Button, asking me for it as though it were lost was a miserable attempt to deceive me.
Well, I didn't kill him.
Perhaps not. Shall we go downstairs?
I'm not afraid.
Oh, admirable. Come along, Mrs. Mullet.
You know, she doesn't seem at all upset by this. You two could be in cahoots. You might have spoken to Mr. Dandy before this...
Oh, I never get upset when I find a dead body. I found so many of them.
What?
Well, whenever I'm with Mr. Witherall, we always find one. He's always getting mixed up in murders.
Oh, he is he? That's quite a character reference.
Well, Mr. Witherall's quite a character.
Ah, thank you, Mrs. Mullet. Now, Mr. Button, shall we go downstairs and see your letter opener? Lost objects turn up in the most curious places, don't they? Yes, officer. 1 hour? All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Is it going to take them 1 hour to get here?
Fortunately, yes. The nearest police station's almost 40 miles away. Besides, he says there's an accident on the road and it'll be blocked for some time.
You mean we're all supposed to sit here?
Uh-huh. With
Dandy's body lying on the floor in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
Just sit here for an hour?
Well, you don't have to stay, Mr. Wick. I imagine it'd be all right to return to your room.
Well, isn't there anything we can do?
No. Simple fact is that Dandy is dead. He was murdered, killed by a knife thrown through the window from quite a distance. Well, when the police arrive, they'll find out who the killer is, and that will be that.
What are you doing that for, Witherall?
Playing beanbags? Oh, just the fun.
You seem pretty cool, Witherall.
Well, I don't see any reason to be excited, Mr. Button. Do you?
With a murder staring everybody in the face? Somebody in this room's a killer, and you're just standing there, tossing those silly beanbags into that hat.
Moments of tension, I find it relaxes me to do something like playing beanbag.
You just try to throw the bags into the hat, Mr. Witherall?
Yes, that's the whole object of the game. No significance in it being my hat. Want to try it?
Beanbag? Now? Very silly for a man who looks like Shakespeare.
Well, I'd suggest you try it too, Mr. Wick. We might all play a game. It'll take our minds off this crime. Or is there someone who's too nervous to play?
I'm not.
Well, I've nothing to worry about. I'll play.
So will I.
Fine. I'll start, eh? Now, here she goes. Ah, perfect. Didn't even touch the rim. 1 point for me. Oh, Miss Wick, watching?
Loretta.
Oh, yes, sorry, I'm watching.
You seem rather distracted.
Wouldn't you be if someone you loved had just been killed?
Yes, or if I discovered someone I loved was a crook and had lied to me.
Are you implying that my daughter had something to do with Dandy's murder?
Anyone could have, couldn't they, Mr. Wick? Anyone here? My second shot, pardon me.
Loretta never even dreamed of killing Dandy.
1 point and one miss for me. Oh, yes. She never dreamed of it, but then the information that he was a criminal could have been extremely infuriating.
Will you stop that?
Why don't you just play beanbag with her all and stop playing detective?
That's all I'm doing, Mr. Button. Mr. Wick, try a couple of shots.
Oh, I'm not very good at this sort of thing. Oh,
come on, try it anyway.
All right. Here goes.
What's the matter, Wick? You nervous? The hat's over there.
Well, I think he's just a bad shot. Try another one, eh?
But I'm no good at it.
Oh, hurry up. I'm waiting for my turn.
Well, all right.
Way off, Mr. Wick. Way off.
He's hopeless. Let me try it.
But it was my turn, Nick.
Lady, you can wait.
Well.
Okay. Bullseye. Now, the next one.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Oh, something wrong, Miss Wick?
You've got to stop playing this game. You've got to. I can't stand this.
Well, what's got into her? If we stop now, I'll never get my turn.
Oh, don't. Please, don't play anymore.
Incredible. Beanbags should be so nerve-wracking. You respond to all sports with equal sensitivity?
It's just too grotesque. Playing a children's game with a murdered man in the house.
Very well. If it's so upsetting to you, we'll give it up. Suppose we go to our respective rooms and wait for the police.
Come on, Dad. Let's go.
I'll be in my room if you want me.
You going upstairs, Witherall?
You second.
My daughter and I'll be in our rooms when the police come. Strange man playing beanbag.
We'll go upstairs too, Mrs. Muller. Then I'm coming down alone.
What? I don't like this place anymore, Mr. Witherall. It's always kind of spooky here at night. But now with a dead man stabbed in the back, I think you should just lock yourself up in your room till the police come.
Now, I've been threatened by everybody involved, Mrs. Mullet. I've no other choice. I've got to get at the bottom of this. Besides, it's ruining my vacation.
What's that?
Oh, just one of our friends closing his door. Now, I'm going to sneak downstairs and look at the records of this resort.
Are they so important?
The minute I see those records, I'll know who killed Mr. Dandy. Now, I don't want to be seen. Know where the hall light switch is?
Yes, I do.
Well, turn out all the lights.
There.
That's it. Now,
Wait. What's that?
Oh, just the wind.
Sounds like someone wailing in agony.
Now, Mrs. Mullet, you're talking like a character in my Hazeltine stories. Agony or not, I'm going down.
The desk where the records are is right at the bottom of the stairs.
I know. So far, so good. Now, where are those files?
Witherall, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. You shouldn't be sleeping on the floor.
My head. Yes?
You were down here so long as I worried, so I came after you. How'd you ever fall asleep on the floor?
I didn't. I was struck over the head. With this, I guess.
That beanbag?
Why, it's loaded. Feel it?
My.
Someone probably threw it at me.
Well, they might have killed you.
Yes. Quite a good deal of expert throwings being done tonight. Now let me see those files. Aha. Some pages have been torn out. Well, there's only one chance left. Let me see this list of guests. 1943, 1942, 1940. I see. Oh, Mrs. Mullet, I feel a bit dizzy. Would you take that telephone and make a call for me?
Well, sure. Who do you want to speak to?
Well, I want long distance. Mr. Paul Scoot, Omaha, Nebraska. Numbers Greenfield 986.
Who in the world's he? What's he got to do with it?
Well, his name and address and phone are here in the records. He was a guest in 1940.
Operator, long distance, please.
Now, it's very important I speak to Mr. Scoot.
But why do you... Oh, excuse me. Long distance? I want Omaha, Nebraska. Greenfield 986. This is Roadside 72367. Yes, I'll wait. Mr. Witherall, why do you want this Mr. Schoon?
He's going to tell me who the murderer is.
A man who isn't here at all? A man in Nebraska? Do you feel well, Mr. Witherall?
A bit shaky.
Yes, it's what I thought. Calling someone in Nebraska to ask them who did the killing tonight. Oh, hello. Just a minute. Hold on. Here.
Mr. Schoon? This is strange, I know, calling you long distance this hour. My name is Leonidas Witherall. I'm calling from Dandy's Dream Domicile. You were here once, weren't you? Yes. Well, I wanted to ask you a question. Now, it's terribly important. Tell me, did you ever play beanbag?
My, you are dizzy.
No, no, this isn't a joke, Mr. Scoot. Who'd you play with? Uh-huh. And who won?
Poor Mr. Witherall.
I see. Yes, yes. Oh, well, thank you. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Well, Mrs. Mullett, I have the information I wanted.
Now, don't you think you better lie down till the police come?
No, now I'm going swimming.
Swimming? You must have been beamed, all right.
Oh. Police come yet, Witherall? Did you hear from them?
No, Mr. Button, but it was warm upstairs.
Yes,
you know,
Wick's on his way down, too, with his daughter. I guess they're kind of restless.
Anything new?
This is all over.
Well, I've just thought of a new way to relax.
Another game?
No, I'm going out on the lake for a moonlight swim.
You're a fool. Only a nitwit would go swimming now.
Just the same, I'm going. Want to see if my swimming's any better or any worse. Neville's good.
Can't you swim?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Wick, my swimming's atrocious. You know, I'm helpless in the water. But I understand Mr. Dandy has a supply of water wings, so I'll have a go at it.
I don't think you should do it.
Well, I won't go out very far.
It's awfully dangerous to go swimming when you can't swim.
Yes, so it is.
Very dangerous. I'll stand here on the dock, Mr. Witherall. You call help if you have any trouble. Water wings on tight?
Yes, all right. Perfect. Here goes.
Be careful. Don't go out too far.
Well, I'm safe with these water wings. Don't worry.
Oh, I can hardly see you.
Ooh, water. Marvelous.
You might catch cold. Ever think of that? I said you might catch cold. Can you hear me? Mr. Hall, what was that? Water wings all right? I could see them like white specks before, but I can't see them now. I can't see anything out there.
Did you say he's drowning?
Yes. He went out with water wings. I could see him. And then there was kind of a funny noise, like a balloon breaking. And I couldn't see the wings anymore. I couldn't even see him. He must have gone under. And he can't swim.
Well, is there a boat around?
I can't swim well enough to rescue anyone.
Well, you hear that? It's the police.
Oh, never mind the police. Mr. Witherall's drowning.
Well, someone's got to help him. I'll look at the other side of the beach house. I think I saw a canoe there.
All right, here's the police. Maybe they can pull him out.
Help! I'm in! Drowning!
All right, we heard you. Where is he?
He's only been in a few seconds.
Bob, Willie, fella's drowning out there. Go get him.
Right, just get me caught off.
Oh, officer, glad to see you. You're just in time.
Mr. Witherall.
What?
Well, where did you come from?
We thought you were drowning out there.
We got a call. Someone's been murdered. Who was it? Where is he?
Well, his name's Dandy, officer. He's in the kitchen.
I'll get a towel. Stand in there in that dripping bathing suit and don't put that knife in your mouth.
Need my hands to wring out this suit.
How'd you get back up here in the dark without our seeing you?
Swam underwater to the other side of the landing.
Then you can swim?
Huh? Oh, officer, you will be interested in this knife.
I'll take it.
That's my letter opener. But I thought it was...
Sticking in Mr. Dandy's body, Mr. Button? It was.
How'd you get it?
It was thrown at me while I was out in the lake by the same person who killed Mr. Dandy. Well, the idea was to puncture my water wing. Thinking I was unable to swim, the killer thought I'd drown. The knife would be lost in the water. My death would be called an accident. Water wings broke, they'd say. Very neat trick.
Who did throw that knife?
Oh, the champion. It would take a wonderfully controlled hand to throw a knife as beautifully as the one that did away with Mr. Dandy and a loaded beanbag that knocked me unconscious before.
Knocked you unconscious?
Matter of fact, the shot that just punctured those wings was pretty marvelous, wasn't it? Marvelous.
Come on, tell us, who was it?
Now, when we played beanbag tonight...
Beanbag?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, when we played, I was looking for someone who'd be very poor at the game.
But you said you were looking for a champion.
Precisely. But would the champ advertise his skill? No. He or she'd be anxious to conceal it. I noticed who was particularly bad and then checked up. I thought the club records would list great athletic achievements for each season.
What'd you find?
Well, I was interrupted in my research, and the pages I needed were torn out. But when I revived, I realized that I didn't need them after all. Now, all I had to do was to call someone who'd been a guest in recent years. They'd know the name of our missing champion. So I telephoned a very obliging gentleman in Nebraska. He told me.
Who was the champion?
You know very well what the name was, Miss Wick.
She killed Andy. With my letter opener to pin the blame on me.
She didn't do it, Mr. Button. The father did.
Mr. Wick!
You can't prove a thing. You haven't any evidence.
Beg your pardon. I just handed the evidence to the officer.
This letter opener, huh?
Yes. You'll find Mr. Wick's fingerprints on it, officer. After it hit my wings, I dove down and retrieved it. Fingerprints don't come off in the water, you know, Mr. Wick.
Very nice, Witherall. Let's go, Wick. My boys will take care of the corpse. Go in the kitchen, fellas.
Mr. Wick, I'm surprised at you. You shouldn't have fallen for my trap. It was so obvious.
Trap?
Yes, the swimming. You know, I'm a champ myself.
Get in my car, Wick. You come too, Witherall. You rate all the credit.
Oh, I don't want any credit, officer. I just want to...
What?
To finish my swim. I came here for a vacation, didn't I? Anybody want to see me do a swan dive?
You have been listening to the distinguished American actor, Walter Hampton, in The Adventures of Leonidas Witherall.
The Adventures of Leonidas Witherall, on Tuned to Yesterday, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from the 7th of September, 1943. And so closes this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.